left one little change, and that was that we still keep track of the statistics of the last couple misrates.
Hmm.
So that way, as soon as we get full, we can have that information in case we need to turn it off immediately.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I kept that. We're not recording anything other than what the miss rate was at that time. We're not recording total misses, we're not recording total hits, or even, there shouldn't be any evictions in all of that. But, yeah, we just keep track of that before we've finished populating the cache as well.
Okay.
So that way we have a running start, I guess, you could say.
Okay.
Because I originally had it very...
So now you have numbers after the post-warm-up stats.
Yeah, on the LRU ones, I have seem to have messed up a little.
Yeah.
And it says it starts from zero. It doesn't. That was just, I forgot to change a variable appropriately. But
right.
I've changed it so that way it's...
why don't you sit down?
Oh, sorry.
I'm easy.
I've changed it so that way it doesn't include the warm-up phase. The statistics in the summary also are post-warm-up to be a better representation of the information we're looking at.
Oh, okay. Do you, what is the significant change you see? Stable arc.
Oh, yeah, and I realized that T evictions plus V evictions doesn't have to be the same.
As evictions.
As evictions, or it doesn't have to equal hits plus misses. And the reason being that there are actions that you'll evict from T into B and then from B out when you're populating. Constantly putting something new in. So both of them can go up.
Can you evict something directly out of T?
There is the option for direct T out of T. I've included that in the T evictions
okay.
Policy. It was a really... I don't remember what the condition is at the moment, but yeah, there's one in particular.
I see. So there's some stability here, some stability here.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot. So here... Okay, let's look at the... And these are at two different granularities.
Yeah, that,
they don't seem very different from each other, right?
No, they don't.
Hmm.
The only one that really shows a huge disparity between granularities is source 2.1.
Hmm. So the hits are reducing here.
Yeah, but the evictions are very much reduced there.
The evictions are down. Do we have the dirty versus clean evictions yet?
No, we don't have dirty versus clean yet.
Yeah, I think that would be important.
Okay.
So this is the source 2.1 is the workload where there is the best improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although it happens for ARC, it doesn't happen for LRU, which is kind of weird.
I assume it's probably something with frequency.
Hmm.
The T2. So.
So this huge.
Yeah.
So how is it that it doesn't happen with LRU? I think there's. I mean, if it happens with ARC, it should certainly happen with LRU, is my guess. So this is the workload where we are just. The working set is just over the cache size, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
At the bottom, though, I did include the 0.6 gigabyte that Jason was talking about last time.
Yeah.
At the very bottom, I put it as a special case. I put it at exactly half of the set size because I figured that's what you guys were trying to get at with the 0.6 gigabyte. So this is just both ARC.
Yeah. So what's happening here? So 0.6 gigabyte cache size, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that the hit rate is still close to 100% in this range. I wonder how. Who's that? Oh, simple. Oh, no, it's curious. It should, the hit rate should be, sorry, the miss rate should be higher, right? Is what we were expecting. It should be approximately 50%. Because you can only contain half of the working set in the...
Yeah, so we must just be accessing a few particular things over and over again.
If that is true, then ARC would also do well.
Yeah, so then what is it?
Wow, this is something new. It's completely new. Is it a gold mine? Because if, you know, that's one of the first questions I ask. If there is data that I cannot explain, there is probably a hidden gold mine underneath when we do understand it. Or
when you get down here, you definitely stop populating. But then again, with ARC, it should have populated it and then continued on and had its miss rate drop. So what's going on? Why is it that we have something?
Yeah. So there's some other property that's in play here. Either that or something wrong with the experiment. But those are the only two things I can think of.
So best explanation for the first part, at least before we could assume ARC repopulates itself, is it's repeating something that we still have, but it doesn't.
The unexpected thing is that ARC is at 100%.
But the other unexpected thing is we can see that they're doing exactly the same
thing
until there. Yeah. Now, why is something different happen there? Why? Either something I have is messed up, or...
I'm glad we did this experiment. I'm very happy that... because it brings up something completely unexpected.
We should give it a...
So one, I guess the highest priority would be to figure out what's going on here.
And yeah.
See, it's happening here again. See this? Happening here again.
That kind of behavior is actually decently common in it. Mostly, it seems during some small phases like this. But it should... So what happens... Maybe when this was going down, this was going up, it was, we're missing, it's got stuff, so it already had whatever we're probably referencing over here.
So no. ARC is not as good as everyone claims it is. It's something that it misses. Or
it's just the way the workload works.
Or
it's much better than LRU in pretty much every case.
Oh, yeah. And here...
Here's the 1 gigabyte without warm-up. The other one was more classical, I think. No, it still had the warm-up.
Oh, so this is including warm-up.
No, this is not including. See, we started about...
Oh.
Just since it's a smaller cache, warm-up's smaller.
Oh,
so
wow.
It takes a while before getting there.
Oh, wow. Hold on. It's also unexpected. So this is after warm-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
After warm-up, when the cache is full... Why do we have 100% hit rate? Although the working set is...
So the cache is half the size of the working set.
Yeah, so shouldn't the miss rate be...
Not if we're not accessing anything. How's the set info look? All the way at the top.
Looking at this, there we go.
It's still going up, so it's going
up. Adding new stuff.
We're still adding new stuff at that point, yeah.
But if we're adding new stuff and we are close to 100%, stable ARC.
It seems pretty consistently adding new stuff too.
Yeah, it's adding new stuff. So ideally in that state, we don't want stable ARC to be populating. so that we can get some hits. Isn't it? Here's a new rule.
Would we even get any hits though?
If we are at 100% miss rate, the cash is full.
But we also don't want to miss putting in a new workload.
That's right. So this is a tricky thing. How do we... something for us to think about. But I think it can be done. But it requires a few more...
it's possible that we could try and take advantage of the ghost list. Wait one second. I've really got to double check that. Okay. Give me one second. I'm going to check the code or something. Because I don't think it should be a problem, but if it is actually like that, I think I checked it before, so it shouldn't be, but let me just see. Because search just looks in ArcHT. If P, it's hit somewhere, it's not necessarily in T. The hits might be too high.
The hits might be too high. What do you mean?
I'm using Arc Search for getting whether or not we have a hit or miss at the moment.
Yeah.
However, for Arc, that's not enough because we have T and B, and we have T1, T2, B1, B2, and because of how this design is currently done, it doesn't differentiate between where a particular page is, but whether or not we have it.
Hmm.
So if it's in B, I shouldn't count it as a hit. It's a hit in B, but it's technically not within the cache itself.
Remind me, T is the recency list and B is the...
T1 is the recency list, T2 is the frequency list.
Okay. And B1 and B2 are the shadow lists.
They're the ghost lists or whatever you want to call them, yeah. And it's getting hits for ghost lists and shouldn't be. So maybe that means our miss rates should be lower for some things. No, our miss rates should be higher for some things.
Higher than 100%? Because it's already at 100%.
I think that this might be what we're seeing is the anomaly right there. But then again, it should also be for that, so still doesn't explain it. So I need to double check where any page that we get is located and have to see if it's in T1 or T2 in order to count as a hit. Okay.
Oh, so this could be incorrect, is what you're saying.
Those could be incorrect, but it wouldn't explain this because that has the same feature. It has the same...
Same problem.
Yeah, so not sure what I would be doing. Okay, so I do need to... At least I recognized the problem.
Well, it has exposed a potential bug, which is good to know. Good to... it's exposed to potential bug. But even so, I think we still have this other more fundamental issue of what if you are... going through a working set let's say you change to a newer working set which is larger than the size of the cache.
Which we know in this one, we do have a working set that's larger than the cache. Oh, overall working set, yeah. Smaller working sets.
Why do we have to wait for such a long time? before we can recognize stability. And here, the rate is 100%. Why does it drop below? Why does it turn off at 100% miss rate?
I don't even know if it turned off at 100% miss rate.
Is it?
You know what? Actually, I might be able to check. I just have to figure. Well, it goes pretty much to zero, so why don't I just look for that? Come on, connect. Okay. Results. This is
1 GB.
This is ARC, yeah.
ARC. Source 2.1.
Stable ARC. 1 GB, 1,000.
Yes.
Source 2.1.
Yeah.
And we're looking at about, we're looking for something close to 1 point something. 0 point something. Can't you take it literally? I'm trying to do a search here and I keep getting just zero.
310 or 15 maybe? 315,000.
Okay, I see the drop.
Yeah.
ARC is off from ARC is off from about 29,600 until 313,000.
Yeah, that's
that small period when it dipped here, it looks like. Or is
this
it
one? Oh, this one. No, 229 is here. That's here.
It goes down to 95 there.
Yes.
And that's when it turned off. Because it had been...
This is where it turned off.
Yeah. That was enough for it to turn off.
And then it doesn't turn on again when it gets to 100.
So it's not populating for there until it gets to the 51%. Which is weird, because... Oh, I don't have a check in my turn it back on thing to that if it's okay. It turns off because it's below the 50%.
Before 95. Below.
It's below 95, pardon
yeah.
me. And everything before, within the period range, is technically within the 5% plus or minus.
So even if the previous periods were 100%.
We're above our threshold, yeah. It can't be 100%, but if it's high enough, but still within our threshold, it still turns off.
And when does it turn back on again?
As soon as we get here, it goes, we're not so
right
close
here?
Anymore. Yeah, as soon as
here?
We got there, it turned itself back on.
It turned it,
the left side of that.
Oh, here?
No, like, not this side, of the straight line.
Uh-huh.
Right there is where it should have turned itself back on.
If it turned itself back on, shouldn't it start experiencing ARC miss rates?
Still not sure about why it stayed. It literally hit 0.0 at some point. And it gained 1,000 hits during that time.
Something is
period.
Wrong there. Something is wrong because we certainly cannot contain the entire working set.
I don't think we're containing the entire working set, but I'm not sure what's going on.
So the misses cannot be zero.
I wonder if I could... I wonder what I can do to figure out what's going on there. I mean, I could...
I think you need to look at how you account for... You count misses in this exact same way in both ARC
oh,
and
wait,
the stable
wait.
ARC?
It might turn itself back on here. So all I needed was a short period of time where it was fine with just the way it was before turning itself off. And it stays off, but why? It still doesn't explain anything. So
let's look at where exactly it got turned off and on. I think that's interesting.
It should have come on again here, but then as soon as a few periods of this happened...
You mean off?
Yeah, no.
Because it turned itself off here.
Turned itself off,
on
turned
here.
On here, and it turned itself back off about here, maybe. All it needs is a few periods of just being... Okay, so it turned itself back on at the 51. It turned itself back off after being at zero for a while. So it turned itself back off at about 316,000. So just a little bit further.
Yeah.
And it stays off for...
You mean 315 it turned itself off? On and then off again at 316? Is that what you mean?
No, it turned itself on at 313. And turned itself back on by 316.
Okay.
Because 314 was at 0.0107. 315 was a full 0.0. And 316 was 0.0884. So both, all three of them were low enough that the algorithm considers
right here
it's stable. Yeah.
It's turned itself off.
And it stays off until...
But how did it have so many 0.00? I don't...
It's still at 0.00 for what I'm looking at.
That is completely unexpected. So, hold on. What is this? This is 1 gigabyte cache, right?
Mm-hmm. We don't see the same effect in the 8,000 granularity. So I'm not sure what's going on with that.
And when does it turn itself back on again?
I'm looking
what
for
is
that.
What is the criteria?
Basically, just a big enough change would turn itself back off because that's a loss of stability.
Hmm. Big enough change, you define that as more than 5% relative to the previous one?
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, that wouldn't be it. I'm trying to think. The best I've got is B evictions in my head. We were evicting from B just before. When we turn it off just enough?
Oh, hold on. Let's go back to the other one, which we were looking at. This is the one that we were looking at prior. Yeah.
We were evicting from B just enough that some of this is pretty much evict hits from B, where this one's missing from B and T. And then it's still populating.
So missing from, this should be missing from
both.
T, right?
This is just, these missing,
oh.
The miss rates should be missing from T, but hits are still counting T and B, which is why I need to fix that. So these could be,
but here you're reporting miss rate though.
Yeah, these are miss rates.
Okay, so these are only taking into account the T misses.
These should only count the T misses, but include... these right now are only T and B misses.
Oh, they shouldn't be counting B misses at all.
No, T miss should just be a T miss. But these hits are T and B hits. T or B hits, I guess you should say.
No, hold on. These are all... Okay. You're saying hits and misses are being accounted for differently?
No.
They're the same.
A hit's a hit and a miss is a miss. A hit is whether or not the page we got back is a reference, an actual pointer to a page. If it's null, it's obviously a miss.
Hmm.
But it was my realization just now that since it's just a hash table, and I'm not caring about where I got it from, I only said if it's in the arc, and I forgot that the way this is done, that it's still the full page there.
Yeah.
It's just the where variable changes.
Yeah.
That it returns the page, but the page doesn't say that it... I haven't checked that it's only in the T.
If it's not, if it's not in the T, it's a miss.
Yeah, that's
it
what I need to do.
It should be counted as a miss.
And,
but,
I'm frustrated that I only realize that right now.
So that means that this line could be up here somewhere.
It could potentially be up there, yeah.
Or it could be all the way up here, too.
I'm suspecting that...
It'll be somewhere down here.
It might just be up there. I think that these are hits purely from the B.
Why? I mean, if we turn it off...
Because the only situation I can think of right now is that while it was off right here, we were evicting from B in an LRU fashion. So we were kept evicting from B, and then we get into this populating situation.
If it is off, we won't do any eviction.
There'd be no evictions, but everything is still going to be there for the most part. I assume that these little bits up here are the ones that we don't have, but we never turned it back on to populate. So this could be, we keep evicting pretty much what we need from B before we get to it, is my assumption right now.
Okay, so the whole point of, if the arc is off most of this time, which is what we want, then our miss rate should be the fraction of the data that is not in the cache.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming all the data is being accessed, you know, with uniform frequency.
Yeah.
Then it should be somewhere down here, which is in proportion to the amount of data that is not contained in the cache.
But here's where the B and T thing comes together.
Okay.
What's the combination, the total size of the B information and T information to C?
Yeah. And that's why we have everything in the cache.
Pretty much, that's my assumption right now.
Yeah. So instead, what your miss rate should be is if eviction is turned off, then we should get a miss rate that is proportional to the amount of data in the working set that's not in the cache.
Pretty much.
Which would be about, this is 1 gigabyte, right? And I think our working set is about 1.2 gigabytes. So miss rate should be 20 over 120.
Something.
Or 2 over 12. It's 1.16.
Depending on the pattern as well, for how recent we've used anything.
Right. No, but what we'll keep 5/6 of the workload in the cache. And assuming that this is more or less uniformly accessed, our miss rate should be 1 over 6.
Yeah.
Instead of 0.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm still curious as to why it's
100. Why arc is 100? Arc should also
be...
Because
it also has 2 caches, yeah. Twice the cache size.
So you're accounting for the miss rate differently with arc and stable arc, I think.
I'm trying to understand what's going on with that, because even what I said doesn't make sense now, because there shouldn't be a difference anyways. So why is there a difference?
Okay, so time to do some revisiting of code.
More detective work.
Yeah, more detective work, which is fine. I think that's important.
It is.
We are doing this now then, and we are almost about to submit the paper.
Yeah, it's better to do it now than later.
Yeah.
We thought this was the promised answer.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. I think even if we see that, you know, your miss rate is down here somewhere, it's not zero, but it's, you know, 17% or something. I think that's a good result. That's close to what the ideal case scenario would be. This is unrealistic.
Yeah. I'm curious. Why would it be a mess? I'm still trying to figure that out. Because, yeah, it would have to be size of 2C. And then even if we had hits in B... Alright, I have no idea why that is.
The only explanation is that we are accounting incorrectly for stable arc and we are accounting correctly for arc.
That is probably a good thing.
I would explain the data, but you would still need to fix the problem and rerun the experiments. So in the meanwhile, how is your thought process with the paper going?
Oh, I had a few bulletins.
Bullet points?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I have no idea particularly which way to do it, but I'm trying to go off of what I've seen and what I'm trying to think of.
Okay.
I'm doing very basic right now, because I don't really know what to, in particular, to write for some things. I figured I'd work around the basic idea first before I add more detail.
I see you got the do-nothing phrase in there.
Yeah, because It's been mentioned a few times over here.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was, I don't know, it's probably not an ideal
name for it.
Name for it to add in the paper. Nothing cash replacement, yeah.
I figured I'll be replaced eventually.
Which is fine. Let's see, so...
Don't really know who to talk to you. I figured I'd mention all the ideas for stability we've had, along with the definition. I was trying to, at least with this part, and maybe a bit of this, to try and go through more of the actual process that we've gone to, from what idea have we gone to through this idea and the next idea.
So more of the evolution of the...
The story.
Of the story, okay. So, okay, so let's see. So in the introduction, the goal is to motivate using caching... External caching, and host. And the other term that is used more popularly here is host-side caching. Yeah. Side caching. Yeah, and minimize writing, and even the newer memories. The non-volatile memories, there are a lot of people who are talking about using them as caches, even they have write endurance issues. So it makes sense to...
That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, and see, I think you may want to write also newer persistent memories that are used as caches. And I think caching faces is a good way to caching for phases. And another term that we would need to bring up here is working sets, where we talk about the set of data that is accessed and reused, that is reused within a phase. And if that working set cannot be contained in the cache, then you have a significant problem. And an allied concept to the working set is that of the miss rate curve. The miss rate curve, if you recall this curve that I might have drawn at some point.
Pretty much what it is the amount of the size of the cache needed in order to have pretty much everything contained.
Right. So this is the simplest miss rate curve where you have this one giant step, right? But most miss rate curves will have something like this. That some data is accessed much more frequently than other data which is accessed much more frequently than the rest, right? Then if you have a cache that's working set is so much, its capacity is so much, then this portion of the work of this specific working set here will not be contained in the cache. And it's going to compete with these guys. And as a consequence, you know, you'll have a miss rate that is this fraction of this overall size instead of what it should ideally be, which is only this much. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this concept needs to be somehow be included as part of the motivation. So, and this, I think, is best to illustrate using a miss rate curve. It's easiest to illustrate. Because then you can draw the steps, and then you can draw the cache line size, and then you can show which part is competing with which part. This figure helps. It's just my way of thinking about it, but I'm sure there's probably a better way of doing this, but I can't think. Illustrate our motivation. Okay, let's go back here.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to not call it Do Nothing. We're going to have a much better name for it, but go through the idea, a process of determining stability.
Does bimodal cache replacement sound okay? Bimodal.
Yeah, sounds fine, because it literally is two modes.
Two modes, on and off, right? And it's also captures the idea that it's a class of algorithms as opposed to a single algorithm. I think that needs to come across somewhere. I think in the motivation part, well, actually, even in the introduction, where we say the cache replacement algorithms are always up, you know, always doing things, and especially given this motivation, it makes sense to turn off cache replacement at some point or at various points in time. Okay, so then you have mining stability. Okay, so the motivation is there, but and then we talk about the process. Mining stability. Okay, I think we talked about this, right? And I think you have captured it very well, which is going from the motivation to how to realize what is being motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the concept of stability comes in. So you have to introduce and motivate the importance of stability, and then, you know, conceptually introduce stability and then define it in a more systematic way, and I think you have some metrics here, right? Rank, reuse distance, and miss rate. So rank, right, if the ranks are stable over a period of time. Mm-hmm. So you have a set of data that is being accessed, which we call the working set. There are some data that are more important than other data, which are more important than other data. So if that is stable, then it doesn't make sense to keep replacing. Right?
Yeah, because you have the assumption that
the most important data will be in the cache.
Mm-hmm.
So any cache replacement algorithm tries to keep the most important data in the cache first, in preference to less important data, in preference to even less important data. Once that is contained in the cache, then the cache replacement algorithm, the cache replacement becomes pretty much useless. I think that's one way of talking about this. The main goal of a cache replacement algorithm is to bring the most important items into the cache. Once that's done, its job is over. And that's what this bimodal cache replacement idea is trying to accomplish. Okay, by reuse distance. Reuse distance is... So rank is a more generic term. Reuse distance is for more specific metrics. So rank could be equated to reuse distance.
Yeah. I think that I was adding that mostly because of the talk we had with Ricardo Leonardo, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was introduced a lot more.
I agree. I think that it makes sense to talk about it as well as two separate things.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the stability of miss rate.
Yeah. Which is the empirical approach.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I think we need to talk about the challenges.
Hmm.
Which is the challenges with 100% miss rate. Although it's stable, there is a problem. And what are the other issues? Well, how to compensate for brief variability in the miss rate. Right? We do that using averaging and that sort of stuff. Yeah, the challenge is...
I'm hoping for this one to happen eventually.
What can all be constants? I think the challenge is, I don't see it as a separate section, I see it co-located with the discussion of how to determine stability, how to define, maybe not, doesn't have to be the same section as defining, but measuring stability. I think we need a cost model as well, which allows us to besides the cost model we need I mean cost model is going to help with the simulation based evaluation. Ideally, if we are able to implement this replacement algorithm some real piece of software, then we can also measure more directly the application level performance.
Because we could measure, especially once we get the writes and stuff in there.
Yeah.
The amount of time it would take for writing back during an eviction.
Yeah.
Anthems.
Yeah.
I assume we're doing write back, right? Not write through?
Writing back.
Yeah.
Write back. Makes sense. Now, for this work, I think a simulation-based evaluation is probably good enough. We should probably start with that version of the paper. So the cost model becomes important. How do we evaluate the cost of, average cost of an IO operation? So that cost would, you know, in some, that we could simulate, for instance, the IO latency, the total IO latency involved in an operation. When you want to populate the cache, you have to evict. The eviction may require writing back to storage if the page is dirty. So you have to wait for that and then you get to write to the cache. Things like how much write to storage happens, how much write to flash happens. I think we had a count of how much writes to flash, right? Because we have the eviction count. The eviction count tells us population count as well. Correct? After the warm-up, you don't need to evict unless you populate.
Yeah.
So every eviction is a write, and it also requires a write to flash, or tells us about a write to flash. We can report that. Let's see. So the cost model, we had to give some more thought to what, how exactly to construct it. At this point, I don't have a very good cost model in mind. What I have in mind is just a latency of an operation.
That's all I thought the cost model would be.
Huh?
That's all I thought the cost model would be, pretty much measuring the latency for operations. If we can decrease the number of those operations that are heavy with latency, then...
Mm-hmm. Then the average latency would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the miss rate increases. So that now we have to deal. We have to construct a cost model that's accurate enough that accounts for the additional overhead of eviction of dirty, which I think we should have, right? In the next round of data, we'll probably have dirty versus clean eviction.
Yeah, I wrote down something to tell me to include rights. Am I actually... one of the other things, of course, I have to rerun all the all of our traces, again, with different cache sizes and granularities. And
in general, what is your sense for granularities? I mean, to me, it seems like, or at least maybe I'm looking at a really small subset of the data relative to what you've been looking at. But it seems like small granularities tend to work better, at least around 1,000. I'm not talking about uniformly, but most of the cases.
So the thing is, I haven't gotten all the information for ARC yet.
Mm.
With LRU, I didn't see much. Some gave better for smaller granularity, some gave better for higher, it looked like, with the LRU stable, which was originally seen through the LRU thresholding.
Yeah.
And that's why we saw those special ones, but I want to go back and start again with looking for what makes ARC look great for stable.
Yeah.
It's pretty much proposing to do a whole lot of information gathering again. Checking out different cache sizes from 1 to 8 again. And once again, the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, no, 3,000, 4,000, 8,000 granularities, and see if I can see how everything compares.
Yeah.
Suddenly thinking about whether or not I should graph the results based on the cache and the cache and granularity size now.
Yeah. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Bring some summary metrics for each workload as you change the granularity. And then it would be good to see if there is a consistent sweet spot that we can see for most of the workloads.
Would be nice.
If it's 1,000, then it might be worth considering 500 as well. Because then we've not done the binary search yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are at the lowest point of our scale. And to me, it seemed like 1,000, at least for the ones that I looked at, which was probably 2 or 3 workloads, it seemed like 1,000 did pretty okay.
Yeah.
So let's.
I
think most important thing at this point is figuring out what's the bug in the data.
Yeah, I really want to. Right now, the best I had was it's including B, but that doesn't really explain anything. You know what? Let me go and check out the regular ARC and see where that
Steven,
is.
I gotta go now, but you know what you need to do. There's one thing which I wanted to ask you. Let me stop this.
Yeah, it's actually about there. We're seeing almost 1,000 evictions from B for each point.
Hmm.
Already,
see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say continue to